themselves. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. They ain't as strong as you. They ain't as committed as you. Maybe their pains are bigger than yours. But you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, because you got to hating the sins that contaminate their lives. And we just want you to understand that the word today is everything will be all right. Somebody say that. Everything, everything will be all right. Now, can I just share something with you? I try to be transparent, but can I share something with you? Y'all were not convincing. Y'all were not convincing me. If I was going through something and you told me everything was going to be all right like that, unless I knew you from the beginning or from the end, you were not convincing, because there did not appear, and I'll use this word loosely, there did not appear to be the anointing on your declaration. Oh, I'm not going there. I'm not here to argue about that, because I believe what's on the inside of you will eventually come out. But I need to tell you, there needs to be some convincing in what you say. When you say it half-heartedly, when you live it half-heartedly, somebody looking at you and go, why do I want that versus what I got? Because what you showing me ain't about much. I don't know about you, but when I'm one of those guys from Missouri, but I use that phrase, you got to show me, because I'm from Missouri, because I needed to see what you're talking about. But if you're talking about this God, and this God ain't showing up, ain't doing nothing, and this God is still allowing you to be all downtrodden and weak and merciful, then something ain't right. Now, I need you to understand something. Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. Jude did not jump on board early on in his life, but after Jesus left, Jude got full of the Holy Ghost, full of fire, and he got on board. And then he didn't have to worry about it, because Jude could say it, because Jude saw some of it, Jude knew some of it, and now Jude say, hey, I got to tell you like I saw it. I got to tell you like I heard it. I got to tell you because I saw what my half-brother went through. I saw what he did. I saw the victory here. I saw and heard about all the things that went on, and he never wavered. So I can tell you firsthand, I understand that everything's going to be all right. I don't know what you're going through, but it's going to be all right. We're walking in victory. Say what? By the hands of the Almighty, what? I've been set free. Set free from doubt. Set free from fear. I've been healed. Oh, somebody here been healed. You know you got to dance. You done been healed over and over, and God is still doing some healing. Somebody you spoke to is healed. Delivered. Made complete. Oh, y'all, we run by that. We've been made complete. There is nothing lacking in any of us if we know the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. You got power over everything. They say you deficient in this mineral and that vitamin and that thing. No, you ain't deficient in nothing. You just waiting on God to show up and give you an extra dose. I don't need a shot. I don't need a pill. I just need more Jesus. Give me a little more Jesus and everything. Oh, you got a doctor. What's something wrong with you? You ain't got this. Oh, Jesus got it. You just ain't seen how he taps into me every day and fills me up, and I use what he gave me, and he fills me up again tomorrow, and I use what he gave me, and he fills me up again tomorrow, and I use what he gave me, and you might have caught me when I was on low, ready for the refuel, but give me a minute. Oh, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, it's in your hand. Now watch me now. I'm all loaded to bear. My God. Jesus. Yes. He tells me everything, 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 everything going to be all right. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Next slide, Sister Beverly. First thing we have to understand, what is everything? Because y'all know we like to pick and choose. Oh, yeah, y'all don't make me have to prove myself here. Don't make me have to prove what God said. We like to pick and choose. But he said everything. Oh, let me get everything is what? It's a pronoun. It says all things. All the things of a group or a class. And goes the next definition, says the current situation. Life in general. Uh-oh, you're about to lose somebody. I'm about to lose somebody, because you're about to say, wait a minute, my life ain't that good, so everything is not okay. Anybody thinking that up in here? Anybody thinking that up in here? You're thinking, oh, everything ain't okay. You just don't know my situation. If you knew my situation, you would understand that what? Everything is not okay. Well, I know more than your situation. Your situation might not appear to be to you, but all that means is that you ain't looking at the light that you ought to be looking at, because the God that I know, what, will prove that what? Everything is all right. Yeah. I tell you, all we got to do is listen to the testimonies. When we listen to the testimony, it points to the word. Yeah, Sister Pam said, what? I didn't see my daddy. I was upset. But I was okay. But then when I got to see my daddy, he didn't want to give me the bad news that I was going to do. Guess what? God arranged that I would be there. He gave me the bad news so I could say, I could declare that things would be all right. But let me tell you, it didn't just stop there, because she went back to say, wait, remember when I had this boss, and this boss and I just did not connect? I prayed and God brought what? Peace to me and the boss. Then God said, oh, this is your assignment. Now you speak to her and you pray for her. And then when she got cancer, I prayed for her and look at how God healed her. And then now that she got it again, I said, I ain't stopped praying. I still got light. I still belong to the light. Now look at God. Hey, they got a new drug. They say I'm a candidate. And guess what? Thank you, thank you, thank you for praying for me. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of love. That's the kind of light. That's the kind of thing that we're telling everything will be all right. And that was in my message. I ain't even got there yet. For some, we got to encourage. Did y'all hear me read that scripture? You encourage somebody in the word of God. Yeah. Then there'll be others we got to snatch out. And I'm going to get to that. But there'll be somebody we got to stop being all cute and getting along with everybody. And we got to say this. That is wrong. Time out for allowing them to destroy our children and destroy our society. Everything is okay. You can choose, but God still loves. Yes, God still loves you, but he hates that. And that is not of God, and you need to stop it. Why? Because that's the only way we're going to deliver some people. We ain't doing it, but God will do it. They got to hear the word. But I can't say that. I can't say that. They'll get mad at me. Let them get mad. They didn't make you complete. They didn't heal you. They didn't deliver you. You there to deliver them. My God. Everything, everything. Let me bring some synonyms, because these might sound better to you. Each item, each thing, every article, every single thing, the lot, the whole lot, the entirety, the total, the aggregate. Now let me get informal like we do it on the street. The whole kit and caboodle, the whole shooty match, the whole shebang, everything but the kitchen sink, the full Monty, the whole ball of wax, the whole, y'all have heard those phrases. We talk, that means everything. That means I don't care what it is that come your way. Everything, everything gonna be all right. You ain't got a job, it's gonna be all right. You got bad health, it's gonna be all right. Your husband or your wife don't love you, it's gonna be all right. Your mama, your daddy, they disowned you, it's gonna be all right. Your sister, your brother, hey, you get out of my face, it's gonna be all right. Your children have lost their mind, it's still gonna be all right. The doctor give a diagnosis, it's still gonna be all right. There ain't nothing on this earth that does not surrender itself to the power of Jesus Christ, so everything's gonna be all right. So now tell me, is everything going to be all right? I want to hear you say it. So I want to hear how you're going to do it when you go out there and you meet a homeless person that said, hey, it's 11 below and wind chill 50 below. How can you tell me everything's going to be all right? Because you and I are talking and you and I are communing and God's giving you some cover and you still got breath, so everything's going to be all right. And oh, by the way, I'm going to help it be all right, because I'm going to pray for you. Oh, by the way, maybe I'm going to put you at a hotel. Oh, by the way, maybe I'll buy you a meal at McDonald's and they'll let you stay on it. I don't know. Whatever God says, we need to do it and everything's going to be all right. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I know my Redeemer lives. And that everything's going to be all right. Well, in order for it to be all right, look at what Jude says to us. Next slide, Sister Beverly. First, we need to understand the things to come and the things that are. So that's the thing I like to, he said, brother, I would not have you be ignorant. Yeah. So because he would not have us be ignorant, he told us what's going to happen, and then he told us the things that are. Jude followed that pattern here. Look at it. Next slide, Sister Beverly. He said, look at Jude, verses 17 through 19. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be what? Mockers in the last times, who would walk after their own ungodly love. Remember, Christ said, remember, the apostles said, remember, your mama and daddy told you that if you do these things, there's going to be some trouble. But if you love Christ, everything. Remember, your pastor said, remember in Bible study, they said what? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his right and all these things. He said, remember, we told you in the last days this was going to happen. My God. So why are we such a shock today? I ain't in shock of what nobody says. I'm not in shock of what anybody does or does not do, because in the last days, it's going to reveal some things.
My God.
Says reveal some ungodly lust. These will be they who separate themselves. Sensual. Oh, and I know there's a big thing about being sensual. And they look at it from a sexual perspective. But no, the sensuality got them having reverence and getting close with God. Not going after the physical things. In the New Living Translation, they say, but you, dear my dear friends, must remember, you, everybody's here, you love Jesus, you need to remember, I'm going to say it again, you, everybody here, you got to remember that what? The apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They said he used predicted. They foretold, they prophesied. That in those days, there will be those who don't know him and will not follow after him and will seek their own thing. There will be those, what, who have faith, but their faith they put on a shelf and they follow it afterward. There'll be those in Destiny Church that on a given day, they rock the solid. But on another day, they going after a little bit of this and a little bit of that, trying to dilute what the real word. There'll be those in the pulpit who will be preaching, what, not for the soundness of God, but just to be seen. There'll be those who won't sacrifice. There'll be those who won't surrender. There'll be those in those last days trying to take you away.
My God.
Said, understand these things to come. The things to come. These are the days of those things to come, and yet we ain't seen the end yet.
My God.
Every year ratchets it up a little bit tougher. Every year we see some things we ain't ever heard of. I saw one this morning and just came to me, and I wasn't planning to read anything. I was trying to get to a song, and this popped up, and I'm saying, some people are raising all of their kids gender neutral.
My God.
Why? Because I want them to decide. You ain't loving God. You're loving yourself, trying to be co-parent and being all wonderful. You're out there dipping and dabbing and got all these different babies, daddies, and that's one thing, but now you sit here trying to mess them up. Because basically what you're saying, let me net this out. You saying God don't know what he's doing.
All right.
We need to stop that. Amen. We need to stop it. Amen. Those of us who know the word of God, God made you a man. God made you a girl. That's who you are.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I'm not saying don't love people who make different choices. Amen. We love everybody. No matter what choices they make, your love will draw them to the point. But I'm not saying that it's okay just to be on the sideline. Not make a declaration of truth. Because every time we don't, we're basically agreeing that God made a mistake.
Amen.
And let me tell you, everybody here, you ain't no mistake.
Amen.
You are not a mistake. You are divinely created and made by God.
Yeah.
Circumstances might have been all jacked up, but when God made you, you were special.
Thank you.
So look at what he looks. Look at what he says. Well, you don't have to believe me. Look at what this thing says. Look at, and it didn't just start. I remember when he talks about these mockers, God was a mocker. God used Elijah to mock the prophets of the world. And guess what? That's where we're supposed to be. They're mocking us when we should be mocking them. You don't believe me? Go to 1 Kings 18, 27 to 29. Say it came to pass. Y'all know the story. When it was Elijah against all the prophets of Baal, and they were trying to do it. He said, all the prophets of Baal, they were crying aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking or is he pursuing, but a journey. He said, look at it. They were cutting themselves and doing all kind of things, trying to get their God, and they ain't heard nothing. And Elijah was on the sideline just mocking them. Go ahead. Call your God. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. Don't you know we got that same Spirit, we have to say, go ahead and call on the world. Go ahead and call on your job. Go ahead and call on your job. But I've come to tell you that when you can't do it, watch what my God's going to do.
Yeah.
It's okay to mock the world because what? We stand and reign supreme. But they were mocked. He said, there are going to be people coming in those days talking about us. And I'm going to jump forward here just for a minute because I was blessed last night. I don't listen to a lot of preachers on YouTube and so forth, but I was listening to some music, and this one scene from T.D. Jakes jumped up that I had not heard before, and he was sitting there talking about, he said, let me tell you something. He said, this is the power of sacrifice. You need to understand what sacrifice is. Say, I'm not ready. I'm tired of hearing about all these folks talking about that I might be selling out my religion. Say, no, my religion is based on sacrifice. You see me now, and you see all the blessings in the house and the cars and all the money. You were not there for the 10 years when I was in West Virginia and I had less than 100 folks, when my lights weren't on and I didn't have a phone and I went next door to use the phone and my gas was about to be say, you weren't there for the 10 years that in the 10 years I had nothing. I still sacrificed and preached the word of God. Because I preached the word of God, God has blessed me because of my sacrifice back then. Somebody in today, you've been sacrificing. Yeah. If you sacrifice for Jesus, watch what God do. Your parade, your May Day, your Hay Day, it's on the way that God's going to bless you with more abundance than you ever seen.
My God, my God.
Now, let me warn you. Don't assume it's money.
All right, stay on, preacher.
It could be just that your spirit of stick-to-itiveness, if that's a word, your spirit not to give up, your spirit to hold on, to declare that everything going to be all right, going to be greater than anybody else. Because when people hear you say it, they're going to believe it.
My God. My God.
And I sat there and I just began to weep. And I said, God, look at you. You've been orchestrating this thing for a few weeks now. You've been putting certain things in place at a certain time for me to hear and me to understand, just to line all this. And even though yet this week, God, you knew what was going to happen.
My
I showed up, my testimony, I showed up for work Wednesday morning and I went to work and we standing there outside in the cold ready to deliver some more packages and they said, it's over. It's over. We outsourcing it. It don't matter that you're number four in the country. We appreciate your hard work. It don't matter we bought all these vans. We appreciate it. But guess what? It's over. Not seasonal. We ain't hiring nobody. It's over. All 60 of y'all gone. I said, all right, God, now I get it. And then all of a sudden, I started to hear these comments from my coworkers and the cussing and the things that started to take place. And I mean, it was going downhill fast. One young man said, I'm just getting my daughter to be stable to know that daddy got a job and now it's gone. And somebody else said, they could have at least sent us to the warehouse and not had us stand in the cold and yada, yada, yada. And the Lord said, speak, boy. And I said, but look, y'all, we know that this was always a possibility. Let's not sit here and go down that path. We need to stand here in the name of Jesus and we need to go forth and do something positive to change our life. So don't stand here and cut and fuss and complain. You need to go home, get on the phone. You need to go home, look for another job. They're going to pay you for the day, so you got a 10-hour advance to go do something else. So don't stand here. Don't complain. I know why I'm here today. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get another job. It didn't matter how I felt in my gut. It didn't matter that I felt I'd been punched and beat up. It didn't matter. Go, yet again, here we go. It did not matter because God is going to do something.
Yeah.
So I spoke, and after I spoke, everybody said, well, we ain't going to stay here. We're going to go home and do that. And everybody got in their cars.
My God.
But if not, we would have stood there, and we would have been in the cold and crying over the job we don't have instead of doing something to let God do something for us.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here going, God, you said everything's going to be all right. You've been playing this song in my mind, and you introduced it to me on the radio, and every time I move around, God, you keep, I couldn't sleep at night. All I was doing, singing in my head, everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
Elijah knew everything was going to be all right. So he didn't mind mocking the world. Go ahead, pray, cut yourself, do it. Y'all know the rest of the story. When they couldn't do nothing, Elijah said, now watch me mess with you. Go ahead. Matter of fact, y'all can add all the water on them. Just keep adding, just heap everything you got, because it don't matter. Whatever you put on there, it ain't going to stop. Because when I open my mouth and declare to my God, oh God Adonai, when I declare to my God, watch what he do. Don't you understand? When you open your mouth and you say, Jesus, Jesus go to work. When you open your mouth and you believe in your heart and you confess it and you live it and you declare it, Jesus go to work. Don't you know when your little brother got had the shock, don't you know when you saw what was going on, when you said, Jesus, I don't like what I see, that was a body blow. But oh, in the name of Jesus, watch what God would do. Don't you understand just what God keep doing? Don't you understand? Yes, that baby boy, he saw a bear. If he made it up, I don't care. That's what he saw. But he stayed out there, and guess what? He came home.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Look at that. He was trapped in the thicket. He couldn't get out. So any animal that might have wanted to get him had him in total control. But God. God said, oh, you might think I'm your prey, but guess what? I'll put a sin around you. They can't stand to smell you. You might think I'm your prey, but every time you try to get in the bush, I'm going to cut you up. Snake, animal, lion, I don't care. Don't you understand? You might look like a punching bag. You might act like a punching bag, but God is absorbing every blow that comes your way, so nothing can have an effect on you. I'm telling you, that's the things to come, and that's the things that are. We are our Father's children. We are the head and not the tail. We are victorious. Look at God. Now, the way Jude wrote, he said there was something else in here. So when we look at this, we got to understand what? We can't be unequally yoked. So he said what? Who they told you there should be mockers in the last day who will walk after what? Their own ungodly lust. And because of that, that meant they were going after the things that what? They weren't yoked to do. The Bible teaches us about that. 2 Corinthians. Next slide, Sister Beverly. 2 Corinthians says what? We can't be unequally yoked. Look at what it says here. But be ye not what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Can I tell you in my time, I had an opportunity to speak with a young lady who's engaged to get married. And when she started talking about their wedding and all that, she said, well, you know, we only got one problem, but it's going to be okay. I'm a Christian. They're Jehovah's Witness. He don't care whether I go to church, but it'll be all right. But when we have children, I'm going to want them to know this, and you're going to want them to know this. So now is God telling you this is supposed to be? She said, I know what it says. I said, well, then you ask God yes or no. So it ain't for me to tell you, but you sound like a man of wisdom. I'm going to tell you what the word says. I'm going to tell you that, yes, in my mind, if I was sitting, but I don't know him, there's got to be equally yoked here. And if not, there's trouble. But if you seek God and you ask him because you believe in him, he will tell you. Say, so, yeah, my mama, my daddy, and my grandfather tell me that, and I understand that. And you know, I said, understand now. It's your decision. But you got to seek God. So there's planting a seed. He says what? And what communion have light with darkness? Uh-oh. We don't walk in darkness. And what concord have Christ with belief? God has nothing to do with the gods of this world. He got nothing to do with the money. He got nothing to do with the houses. He got nothing to do with the pride. He got nothing to do with the jobs. He got nothing to do with the president and all that, walking after pride, because he reigns supreme. He said, I'm above all this stuff. You need to seek me and not seek all this. Uh-oh, did I step on somebody's toes?
Go ahead.
You seeking some of this stuff down here? Oh, come on. I know, but God got that. But he said, what? Wherefore what? Come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and what? I will receive you and will be what? A father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty, by the hands of the Almighty, by hands of the Father. I came out, but I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete, because I refuse to stay in the depths of this world. I refuse to stay in the doubt in my mind. I refuse to stay in what? And I'm not, because I know who I am. Will you get away from staying in that place? He goes on, he said, but wait a minute. Why do we have to say that? Why do we have to be that strong? Can't I just exist over here? And leave? No, you can't. And there's a reason you can't. 1 Peter, what? 1:12-16 said, unto him it was revealed that not unto themselves, but to us did they what? Minister the things which were now reported unto you by them what have preached the gospel to what? With the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven? Because the angels desire to look into it. Why? Because wherefore you got to gird up your loins of your mind. You got to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is what? To be brought unto you to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, you can't stand on the sideline. Because of Christ, you can't. Well, it's going to be okay. They do their thing. I'm just going to do my thing. No, baby, it don't work that way. You're a warrior. You got to speak for Christ. Because if you deny him, he gonna deny you. You ain't getting your healing, stop denying him. You ain't getting your deliverance, stop denying him. Just be available to what he says. Why? Why? It says obedient children, not fashion yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. When we didn't know better, we couldn't do better. But now that we know better, we got to do better. Because he which was called you is holy, so be ye what? Holy in all manner of conversation. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Uh-oh. So when they call you and they want to go down pity lane, you can't just listen down pity lane. If you let them get off the phone and they still in pity lane, you deny Christ. What's saying? You can't allow a person to come to you and to be available to you that God wants you to change their life and you leave them in the place that they came. You got to speak the truth. So at some point during the conversation, you got to say, but baby, my brother, everything going to be all right. Baby, guess what? If you see Christ, watch what God will do. Oh, if you don't know where it is, let me show you where it is. But if you don't even know where to get it yourself, just say, I know that my Redeemer, I know Jesus, my Christ, will not leave it this way. Just seek him. You got to. You have to tell them that. Otherwise, just, you know, okay, yeah, we're going along. Ooh, you just missed your opportunity. Ooh, you just missed. And sometimes it's just asking a question. Can I pray for you? I don't know how many people refuse prayer, whether they love Jesus or not. If you ask them, can I pray for you? Take a minute. Take 30 seconds. Take five. Just pray. But you got to ask. If you don't ask, they ain't going to say, will you pray for me? Because if you wait for them to say, will you pray for me? Now you're walking in the wrong spirit. You're walking in a spirit of pride. Yeah, come unto me because I'm Mr. Almighty or Mrs. Almighty. If you ask me, yes, I'll do it. But what? When we're like Christ, we do because of the need.
Yeah.
Y'all remember a couple weeks ago, right? But if not, the lady said, look, we need. Jesus said, but you ain't my children. You ain't my children. You a Gentile. You ain't my children. Those are the words of Christ, right? He said, what? I got to take care of my children and not the dogs. She said, yes, sir. I worship you. I understand. But she said, but yet the dogs want the crumbs from the children's table.
Yeah.
And Jesus went, my child, your face. We got to be willing, for the crumbs. Yeah. We got to be willing to be used as the crumbs.
Yeah.
It's okay that if you're a crumb, because if I eat a piece of the crumb that Jesus gave out, that meant it's nourished me. So everything that comes out of me is just like the crumb, and the crumb is healing. Oh, somebody didn't get that now. I don't know about you, but when I eat of the crumb from Jesus, that means that crumb is in me. It magnifies and nourishes me. That means now when I give out a crumb, guess what? I'm going to heal somebody. Why? Because the crumb came from Christ. I don't know about you. It ain't me, but Christ.
Yeah.
So will you come to the table and eat of the crumbs of Jesus? Will you allow his spirit to come and nourish you and just fill you up and heal you and deliver you and change your life? The crumbs, what? Because everything going to be all right. That's the first thing. We had to know. We had to understand the things to come and the things that are.
Yeah.
Jude said it. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Next slide. Let's hit it one more time. It's got something on there. Said the things to come, said what? Everything will be all right. The things that are, said one more time. That are, said what? Everything will be all right. One more time. It'll get up there. Come on. One more time. The next line said, the things that are, everything will be all right. Then we go to point two. The thing that computer's trying to free. There it is. I knew it was going to come. Thank you, Lord. The things we have to do for ourselves. See, there's some things we do for others, but there's some things you got to do for you. It's in the word. Verses 20 and 21 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves what? In the love of God, looking for, that means we're looking for what? The mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. We're not looking to be defeated. We're not looking to what? Say, I messed up. We're looking for what? What? The mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because he's going to give. He says what? You got my mercy. I give it to you. You got my grace. You didn't deserve it, but I gave it to you. You accepted it so you can look for it. Oh, we don't look for it. We get caught up in the world. I'm looking to get to heaven, y'all. I don't know about you. I'm looking for a whole lot of reasons, but only one reason. I'm looking to see Jesus. I got a lot of reasons to get there. Granddaddies and grandmamas and mamas to get there. I got a whole lot of reasons I want to get there, but that ain't the reason I'm looking, because they can't do nothing for me when I get there, but rejoice with me. I'm looking to see my Savior. And when I see my Savior, all of us will rejoice. All of us will rejoice. But then he says what? The New Living says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. They both said, your most holy faith. Yeah. Your faith in Jesus. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That describes faith. But I got another twist that God gave me a revelation, because we say we have not seen, but that ain't the truth for me today. I have seen by faith what Christ will do. I have seen him do some healing. I have seen him do some deliverance. I have seen him make provisions. I have seen all the things that God's to do. So yet, even though I have not seen Christ, I have faith and hope for that I will see him again. But I got evidence of the power that he's given me. I got evidence of the power that he's given you. I got evidence of what God will continue to do. So you need to stop going, well, I can't make an impact. I can't make a difference. We got to do some things for ourselves. My God. What he said, you got to build up. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Look at what building up said. 2 Peter 3:17-18 says what? Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, what, being a led way, what, with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast. Peter said to them, look, you know the truth. You rooted and grounded it. Stop looking to the side, to the left, and to the right. Stop looking behind you. Look to Christ, the author and finisher. Why? Because you know what it is. You got to remain steadfast. Because when you look to the left and you look to the right, when you refuse to take a stand, it will draw you slowly, slowly, slowly away from your anchor point. Oh, look at the world today. The world is in such chaos because the body of Christ has been drawn away from the root of the word. The body of Christ has been drawn away. He said, what? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And our Sunday school lesson in Philippians, the second chapter this morning, said what? We got to surrender to Christ and stop what? Going after the things of the world. Why? Because they will draw you away. And look at what our world. We can't even come together. Men's issues, women's issues, racial issues, sexual issues, all these kinds. We're so confused. Guess what? I ain't identified with none of them. I'm just an it. Parents ought to get a grip. Know what you're saying to your child. You just an it. I can't even decide what you are.
My God.
So we go and say, well, I'll let you choose. Letting them choose when they don't know nothing is not the right thing. God didn't let you choose. He made who you are.
Yes. Yes.
When it's right or wrong, we got to take a stand. A stand against hatred.
Yes.
So why we keep hating each other? A stand against no compassion. So why won't we do anything for anybody? One of the greatest stories I heard this week, and I'm glad it happened to Colin Powell. This soldier with one leg and a false leg saw a man on the side of the road with a flat tire and said, look, I got a time. I don't care about my dog. I got to help him. Because that's what? That's the right thing to do. And look at who he ended up helping. Man, they got both legs. And the general, and I'm thankful to God, the general Colin Powell said, look, this is what America ought to be about.
Yeah.
Take that, politicians. It's not about all this other stuff. It's about us helping one another. I'm glad today that a comedian who got one of President Trump's supporters went after because he made a joke. And the comedian said, guess what? I'm not going to fight him. He said, what? I'm going to find out and help him. Found out the man had an illness. Found out he had a GoFundMe page. He donated to the man's GoFundMe page. Put it on his column where people heard it. All of a sudden, the man had the $41,000 to go get help. The man said, he changed my life. I'll no longer go after people because I'm defending somebody, because he helped me when I didn't even deserve to be helped. That's what I'm talking about. That's who we are. We go to help people that don't deserve to be helped because of what they did, but because God said, what? I helped you. You help somebody else.
Yeah.
He says what? To him be the glory And then it says we've got to have this faith. And 1 Corinthians said, what? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit what? You would say, quit what? Quit doing what? What? Quit you like men, be strong. Stop being what I used to call in my day milquetoast men. Milquetoast men, yeah. Grew up in Detroit, and there was this old phrase, it was an old Polish phrase, that if you shook somebody's hand, and it was called a milquetoast handshake. That when you shake somebody's hand, you shake it with a firm. My daddy said, whenever you shake somebody's hand, boy, you shake it firm, because you're just as much a man as they are, just as much a woman as they are. You shake their hand firmly.
Yeah,
amen. Our faith is like that. It wasn't made to be soggy when it rains. It wasn't made to be soggy when things happen. Our faith stands fast.
Stay on, preacher.
Wasn't built on unfertile ground. Wasn't soil that was built on a rock.
Jesus.
And if it's built on a rock, the water can't wash it away. Don't believe the reports of nature. Those are controlled by God. But he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and what? The gates of hell will not prevail.
Thank you, Lord.
Something else you got to do for yourself. It said right here in the Word. It said, the love of Jesus, what? It said, but what? You, dear friends, must continue to pray. Acts 6 and 4 says, but we will give ourselves what? Continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And then I just rejoice because, see, somebody said it earlier, Sister Pam, it came out of your mouth and I wanted to start preaching then. Said the things we have to do for ourselves can be found in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Go down to verse 16 and go through 24. And Sister Susie read it last week, said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this what is the will of God Jesus concerning you. This is what God wants you to do. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, prove all things, prove that God is a provider, prove that God is a healer, prove that God is a sustainer, prove that God is a protector, prove it why? By the way you live and what you say and what you declare, and watch things change. You got to prove it. He said what? Hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. We can't be tiptoeing, y'all. We got to stop the tiptoeing. We got to stop the doubting. We got to stop the, well, I got to stay over here because I got some over here and I got some over here. Well, if you got them on both sides, draw a line down the middle, stand on Christ and watch them gravitate to you.
My God.
He said, the very God of peace, of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be, what, preserved blameless.
Yeah.
I don't want nobody to say what you didn't tell me. I don't want nobody to say, but you didn't love me. I don't want nobody to say, but you played games with me. I don't want nobody to say, you were acting like you loved Christ, but you didn't love Christ. So there must be some wrong. No, there was nothing wrong. I did what I did because God told me to, and I'm going to stand on his word no matter what happens to me.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm willing to sacrifice. Those are the things that we have to do for ourselves. You got to be willing to sacrifice. The things we have to do are in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, every now and then. And I love what it says in verse 24. It says, faithful is he that calleth you who also, what, will do it.
Yeah.
God don't call you and tell you to do it and then not do it. Those are some of our so-called friends. Those are some of our family members. As a matter of fact, there's some of us up here in the church. I'm going
to
pray for you and we never open our mouths. Oh, but God said, he's faithful to do what he said he will do. That's what David declared, didn't he? The Lord is. Hey, I don't want to go there. That's all right. All right. But now. Now, Jude said, wait a minute now. He said, these are the things that are common, the things that are. These are the things that you got to do for yourself. But more importantly, here are the things you got to do for somebody else. Next slide, Sister. The things we have to do for other people. We got, this is not a choice. This is not a, well, maybe if I feel up to it. This is what we got to do because we were bought with a price. Because his blood was shed, we got to do it. Because he saved our soul, we got to do it. Because he's given us an anointing, we got to do it. Because every day he renews that anointing, we got to do it. Because he gives us words and he gives us vision and he gives us power, we got to do this.
Yeah.
Look at what it says, Jude 22 and 23. And of some, it didn't say of all, of some have compassion. What? Making a difference. Every now and then you got to go, baby, it's okay. Now, let me address this with some people. Some of us know what it's like when somebody said, baby, it's okay. Most women understand that when somebody said, baby, it's okay. Somewhere through their lifetime, they receive those hugs and that compassion. Now, can I speak to the brothers? Some of us didn't get that as we were developing who we are. The men, no, you got the handshake, you got told that was the way it was supposed to be. Now, just go do it. Men don't cry. Oh, I done heard that so much. And they say, you must have got too much estrogen because you can't stop crying. Yeah, I did get an extra dose of estrogen. It came from Jesus the Christ, who's everything. He made everything. So if you don't like that I cry, you keep moving on, but I'm still going to say it's okay. So when I cry and I'm crying in the spirit, I know that everything's going to be. I had to let that old man go because that old man was separating me from who I really am. And that's what a child of God. And when I'm a child of God and God has done something, I'm okay to cry tears of joy. I'm okay to show compassion. I'm okay to show mercy. Yeah. You say what? It makes a difference. So when somebody keep going through the same thing over and over and over, don't start talking about them. Don't get weary and well-doing. Hang on in there. You say, well, you got to make a difference. You got to encourage them. But in the faith, when their faith, where they get tired, ye who are strong, what? Bear the infirmities of the weak. That means that when you know that everything going to be all right, you got to plant yourself, stand still, and be right there with them.
Yes.
Don't let your intellectual mind and properties go, you keep messing up, I'm done with you. Because I'm guaranteed this is what's going to happen. God's going to set a mirror in front of you.
My God.
And say, you keep messing up. And he's going to stop right there. He won't say, I'm done with you. But he will call to your mind that you keep messing up when you're judging somebody else. The Bible said, what? Judge not, lest ye what? Be judged. God won't declare death to you because you're his child. But God will set a mirror in front of you and make you look at it over and over and over and over. And every time you go there, God will reveal it to you until you just get to a point. Okay, God, now I get it. I'm going to stop standing in judgment. I'm going to be available. When people need help, we got this thing that goes on. We make them ask for help. Well, I pray God's blessing on those who do without being asked. Because I know they're listening to the Spirit. Because here's what has never made sense to me. If we're so holy and so spiritual and we listen to God, why don't we ever hear God say, go do for somebody without being asked? That never made sense to me. So my wife and I have just done things that God told us to do. We don't have to know the situation. We don't hear God say do it. We just do it. But it amazes me. Why do all God asks? They just need to let me know they need. What happened to your conversation with God? You mean to tell me the almighty, all-powerful God who's given you everything can't tell you to get rid of some of that stuff so you can help somebody else? They got to come and ask you. That ain't a spirit of humility. That's a spirit of pride. I got what I got, and they don't deserve unless they ask. No, the truth is, you want to add your 2 cents.
My Lord.
You want to tell them, well, you know, if you do this a little bit better, you'll be all right.
God
didn't ask you to do that. He said, did God ask you to do something like that and ask him how to get it done? No, God said, receive my power. Believe that when I died for you, I rose for you. What? Thou shalt be set free.
My God.
That was the invitation. Now, after you accepted it, he has some instructions.
Yeah.
He said, look at this thing. Said, and then he said, that's some of the folks. And I'm going to tell you, if I had to grade us, and I'm not the teacher on this, but if I had to grade us, we do all right in that part. We do okay with that part. We're willing to listen. And we're willing to help. But the rest of the story goes in. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling it up, save with fear. That means some folks, we got to get a word of God that scared them to get away from what they're doing.
My Lord,
and we hate to do that. We hate to do that. We don't want to tell nobody, you need to stop that. Stop smoking that weed. Stop drinking that alcohol all day, getting drunk. I ain't saying that you don't get your taste whenever you want your taste. But when you drink it and get drunk, you need to stop it because it's messing up your life. You need to stop gossiping all day long. You need to stop it. You need to stop running after what the world. You need to stop chasing money and not doing other things. You need to stop it. Because what? Because it ain't of God and it's drawing you away from God. You value your house and your money and your car and everything else more than you value doing what God. We need to tell them to stop it. That's why he said you got to snatch them out of the fire. If you saw a house being burned, and there was a baby at the door, would you stand there and say, well, I might get my hair burned or I might get burned myself, or will you go get that baby? We need to go get those babies.
My God.
It's not okay to keep doing what you're doing. When my cousin died of an overdose getting some bad pills, it's not okay. But I never once endorsed it. Told him, you need to stop that. You need to choose a different way of living. I can't force you, but you knew what I stood for. My daddy used to say, you can't come up in here like that. Don't come to his house smelling like no weed. You can't stay. That's just the way it was. You got to be respectful in his house. Take off your hat. That's just the way it was. It ain't changed. There's certain things we can't just endure. Well, I ain't got a right to say that to nobody. But then when they die, we want to defend them. When they get arrested for doing what's wrong, then we want all the enemy and the police and all this other stuff. When they die and they don't know Jesus and they're going to hell, it's too late to say anything. But there will be a charge on us. Jews say you got to snatch them out of fire. Why? Because you hate sin. God hates sin. He didn't say hate the sinner, but he hates the sin. He said what? Don't even get caught up with even their garments. Don't get caught up in the clothes. Don't get caught up in all that stuff. Because guess what? That stuff smells of sin, and you ought to hate it. Ladies, you got a job to do. We need to get on our job. We're dressing any old kind of way. I can't tell women how to dress. I can't tell them push it up, cover it up. I can't tell them to loosen it up. I can't tell them to make it longer, get rid of slits because it just looks good because that's the way of the world. But all that does is lead men and women these days, men and women, to sensual thoughts about what they see. And when they go down that path, guess what? That's where you end up. But we're afraid because that's just the style. But no, baby, it ain't always been that way. Your mama and your mama's mama told you, girl, cover it up. Don't wrap it too tight. Don't do that because guess what? You don't want what you're going to get. We ought to be modest. Yes. Men, we got to tell them, stop being dogs.
My God.
Stop running after. If you got babies, you got to be responsible.
Amen.
I know it works. I was sitting in my van last week, and a young man that I mentored from when he was 12 years old, he's a grown man, and he saw me. He knocked on the van. He said, that you, friend? He said, man, what are you doing in this van? You don't drive. You work on it. I said, that's what I got to do to take care of my family. And if I don't have another job, I will do this job. He said, man, you've always said that. And he said, I just had a baby 2 days ago. It's my third baby, a two-day-old, a 14-month-old, and a 12-year-old. And you and Jeff told us that if we got a baby, we got to take care. And I'm taking care of my babies. And I go back to these young men, and six or seven of them got babies that they probably shouldn't have, but they got, and they taking care of their babies. Because that's all they heard. If you a man, come to me about being a man, and you don't take care of your responsibility. If you got $10, they get a portion of that 10. If you got 20, they get a portion. If you ain't got no money, your baby need diapers, come see me. And I'll make sure we get something to help them. But you got to be responsible. And so when I see them, and some of them still smoking dope, and some of them making bad choices, some been to prison and out, but they taking care of their babies. Because guess what? We snatched them out of the fire. Would not allow them to stay and have a mentality that it's okay. Oh, but guess what? Guess what, y'all? Guess what, y'all? We need to start at home. And I ain't talking about your personal home. We need to start in the church. We need to clean up the church. I ain't talking about kicking nobody out. We need to clean up the church. When we get relationships with people and they walk in, well, girl, you know you are now. Get to know them. Get to love them. Teach them the word of God. God will manifest the change. Our young people, teach them and stop living any old kind of way and be concerned with them. What? God will manifest the change. He said what? Snatch them out of the fire. But the New Living Translation says, but do so what? with great caution. He said, hating the sin, but making sure what? That it don't contaminate your life. Well, you know how it won't contaminate your life? Go back to things you need to do for you. Pray without ceasing. Oh, somebody didn't get that, did you? If you pray without ceasing, guess what? It won't contaminate you. God will give you victory. God will give you victory. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Next slide, Sister Beverly. What we got to do for others? We got to point them to Christ. Revelation 22, 13, 14. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are what? That they that do his commandments, that they may what? Have a right to the tree of life. If we point them to Christ, they get a right to go to the crystal city. If we point them to Christ, they get a right to enter through the gates. If we point them to Christ, they get a right to shout forever. If we point them to Christ, they get a right to be with the great family reunion. If we point them to Christ, they get a right that they can stand there here and they can shout. If we point them to Christ, they get a right to what? They can be part of the solution now. If we point them to Christ, they get a right that they can rejoice now. If we point them to Christ, they get a right to help save somebody else.
My God. Man, my God.
Next slide. Next slide. And Jesus told them this in Luke 16. He said, and he said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, what? Shall be, not maybe, not if they want, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's why we can say to somebody, either you're for Christ or you're an enemy of Christ. If you're with Christ, you'll be saved. If you're against Christ, you're going to be damned. Now, what that looks like, I don't know if you want to run around and wait to see, because the only thing I can tell you is that there's going to be some gnashing of some teeth. There's going to be burning fire. I don't think you want to run the risk. So, yeah, I'm going to shock them with fear to tell them what? About my Lord and Savior. This is this, and that's that. And these, and this is what I love. And these shall what? Follow them that believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus, shall they what? Cast out devils. They shall what? Speak with new tongues. They shall what? Take up serpents, and they won't die. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the word of God. That's what Jesus told them. Then he sent them out as he went away. Now, how many of you believe you can do those things? Oh, come on, somebody. Can I tell you the truth? You drank something that should have killed you, and you're still alive. Hey, somebody, you've been a part of a serpent that bit you, and you still alive. And oh, ain't no serpent, I ain't been around no snake. Oh, yes, you have. The serpent deceived you. You were with somebody you never should have went. You survived it. You went to a job that you never should have went to, and you survived it. You said some things that you never should have said, but you survived it. Why? Because the Jesus that sent you protected you. Oh, but maybe I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about me. I'm just talking about me. The little old raggedy fat boy from Detroit. I'm just talking about me. I've been some places I never should have went to, and I survived it. I've done some things I never should have did, and I survived it by the grace of God. And somebody came out and snatched me out of the fire. Somebody said, boy, you're living too fast. They snatched me out of the fire. Somebody said, boy, you're going in the wrong direction. They snatched me out of the fire. Say, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that somebody was willing to be honest with me. Somebody was willing to be direct with me. Somebody was willing to be frank with me. So today, I say to you, everything will be all right.